Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Big story here. Two of them. David Price signs a seven-year, $217 million deal with the Red Sox. They get a number one starter. We're going to talk about that this half hour. Tony Knopf, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, on the show tomorrow. Kevin loves that segment.
It's been a while since we've heard from Tony, so it's good to have him back and ruining every part of sports that I loved so much.
Yeah. It's a business.
Love
Tony
the business.
Tony talks business.
Love business.
We're going to actually, the topic, the number one topic I'm going to bring up with him tomorrow, is the Los Angeles situation with the NFL. Who's going and why? You know, who, you know, how are they going to work this out? That'll be the first question. Then we'll dovetail it from there. Let's update what the Penn State Bowl situation is. This is the way the Tax Slayer Bowl in Jacksonville lays it out. They did put out a tweet today. Who would you like to see Penn State play, essentially? Who would you like to see play? Penn State versus LSU, Penn State versus Georgia. That's the tweet they put out. So that has everybody thinking, okay, that's, you know, you're trying to read tea leaves. That's quite a tea leaf to put out there, correct? All right. Here's the reality of the situation. The president of the bowl says as follows, that their number one choice, because the SEC is going to get a team on one side, so it's either LSU or Georgia on one side. Florida State is probably their number one choice. Penn State's their number two choice. They have to request a Big Ten team to go. They did take Iowa last year. They played Tennessee. So the game for Penn State fans to watch, in my opinion, is the ACC championship game, Clemson and North Carolina. If Clemson wins the game, and right now, Florida State is number 9 in the college football playoff poll. So Florida State's number 9. They're actually ahead of North Carolina. If Clemson wins the game, Clemson most assuredly will be in the college football playoff. Good on that so far, Kev?
I'm following along.
Okay. Florida State, in all likelihood, would then be offered the Peach Bowl as part of the New Year's Six, playing on New Year's Eve. That opens the door, Penn State, then possibly to Jacksonville. If North Carolina wins, now it becomes jumbled. Clemson might be the team that ends up at the Peach Bowl. Now what does it do for Florida State? Do they go to the Fiesta Bowl, where they're weary of how well Florida State has traveled because they've gone to the West Coast so many times in recent years? A Rose Bowl game and against Auburn for the championship. Semifinal game last year with Oregon, again in the Rose Bowl. Do they want them going west again? That's a problem. Could they go to Orlando? Well, actually, believe it or not, Florida State's playing its spring game in Orlando this year in April of 2016. So that might not be so, which then opens up the door to Jacksonville. So that's what we're waiting to see. I think that game, the Clemson-North Carolina game, if you're a Penn State fan that really wants them to go to Florida for the first time in 5 years, because they haven't been there in 5 years, if you're a Penn State fan that wants to go to a Florida bowl game, root for Clemson Saturday night. I think that's the key right there. Pete Thamel from Sports Illustrated is the one that broke the story on Michigan defensive coordinator DJ Durkin taking the Maryland job. There has been a lot of speculation around Al Golden and Rutgers, but nothing official there. Let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. Then we'll talk about the Red Sox briefly. Nick Nixon on KABC 790 as Kopitar scores in overtime to give the Kings the win over the Vancouver Canucks.
Three-on-three format has proven to be, quite honestly, the most exciting 300 seconds in sports. It's been great. Turnover Canucks in the zone to the net. Carter to Kopitar. Score! That's why it's exciting.
I love 3-on-3 in overtime. I love it. I think it's one of the great things they've done. It's fun.
As a play-by-play guy, that's kind of a dream right there, to have something. You're just talking about how exciting it is, and you don't hardly get it out of your mouth before it actually proves the point.
Well, it's also easier 3-on-3. I mean, there's only six bodies out there to talk about. And it's, you know, I think it's, whenever I watch 3-on-3, I thought, this is great. I love this. I think it's a great innovation that they've made. Yeah, is it different than the regular game? Yeah, but I mean, the way the point system is set up, you want to get a winner or you get a winner. It's 3-on-3, and the fans love it. Imagine doing something that the fans love.
There are sports that do that?
Yeah, they try to give it a shot. All right, let's get to the David Price story, because here in Boston, that's the big story. It is a 7-year, $217 million deal. It is $31 million a year. The Red Sox felt they had to do this, and I think Red Sox fans are thrilled that they did it, because here's the bottom line. Buster Olney says it's a bad deal financially and so forth. Look, he could go out. His arm could blow out in February, and you're on the hook. There's a three-year, there's an opt-out at the end of year three. And the Red Sox outbid the Cardinals by $20 million, and they outbid the Cubs by $25 million. But Price was said to have preferred the Cubs over the Cardinals anyway because of Joe Maddon. All right. The Red Sox have finished in last place in three of the last 4 years. The 1 year they didn't, they had the best record in baseball, and they won the World Series. Okay. They had dealt in 2012 Adrian Gonzalez, Josh Beckett, Carl Crawford to the Dodgers, and were able to get $250 million off of the payroll. But they also had at the front of the rotation John Lester and John Lackey. Outstanding 1 and 2 starters. And it proved out in the playoffs. Those two guys were the guys that pitched them to the championship. Well, Ben Cherington never did pull the trigger on re-signing Lester. They first of all, he dealt Lester to Oakland, and he dealt Lackey to St. Louis. So they didn't have those two guys. In the offseason last year, he could have picked up Lester, but they were $20 million short of what the Cubs offered. Red Sox offered $135. Cubs offered $155. Lester went to Chicago. So they didn't have a number one. They said, oh, well, we can do this without number ones. What they did was they put together a staff of 3, 4, and 5s and no 1 or 2s. Buchholz is a 3. Porcello should be a 3, pitched like a 5, but he should be a 3. Wade Miley's probably a 4, could be a 3. And they had a chance to acquire Cole Hamels from the Phillies, but Cherington would not give up the prospects to do that. Cherington is since out. Dave Dombrowski's in. And Dave Dombrowski says, look, we need a number one. So they went out and they signed David Price. And, of course, Dombrowski had him in Detroit, so he knows who he's getting. 7 years, $217 million, an opt-out at the end of 3 years. They also, people forget, acquired Craig Kimbrell, the closer from the Padres, who had those great years with the Braves and had a great season with San Diego this year. So they feel like they've solved the closer, they've solved the number one pitcher, and they can now have a couple things fall into place. They also picked up a fourth outfielder in Chris Young. So that's what they are trying to do, is they're trying to put a number one ace in the rotation for everybody to dovetail off of. With the idea that Buchholz can be a 2, Wade Miley or Porcello, or, you know, Porcello can be a 3, Wade Miley can be a 4, and Eduardo Rodriguez can be a 5. The Red Sox fans, outside of paying cable bills and obviously ticket prices, don't have to pay for this. So really, who cares how much money they spend? I don't care how much money they spend. You got to know who you are and how you get there. This is the kind of deal they need to make. Why David Price over Zach Greinke? All right. National League fans aren't going to like this, but it is the truth, and that's the way it goes. You needed to sign Price instead of Greinke for this reason. You needed to have an American League ace that understands what it takes to pitch in the American League. It is tougher to be a starting pitcher in the American League than it is to be in the National League. Why is that, Kevin?
Because there's a DH, and the National League uses a pitcher who doesn't hit typically as well.
You have to face a 1-9 batting order all the time, and there's no mental break. It's very difficult because, let's face it, the eight hitter, you can pitch around the eight hitter and take your mental break. Oh, and by the way, the nine hitter is the pitcher coming up, and you're still on mental break. So you really only have to pitch the seven guys. In the American League, you have to pitch to all nine guys. All nine are legitimate major league hitters, and there's nobody to pitch around. Who do you pitch around in the American League lineup? Who? Who do you pitch around and take a mental break in an American League lineup? Now, National League fans don't like to hear that. Oh, we love the strategy, blah, blah, blah. Look, there's pluses and minuses on each side, and I've always been curious listening to National League people defend the incredible strategy of, oh, look, let's go get a sandwich, the pitcher's up. Yeah, great. Great strat, love it. Yeah, fabulous. Can't wait to watch Gerrit Cole pitch. To hit. I don't pay a dime to watch Gerrit Cole hit. I don't pay a dime to watch Francisco Liriano. You just can't sit there at the ballpark and go into a state of shock when a pitcher gets a hit. I mean, hey, look at that. See, you should have the DH. Okay, yeah, his batting average is .095. Fabulous. Okay. An American League pitcher has to be dialed in the entire time because it's a 1-9 lineup. With no break. There's no easy out in the lineup. You've got major league hitters. Some are better than others, but they're all major league hitters, as opposed to, okay, the pitcher's on deck, I got two outs, the eighth place hitter's up. Okay, I can, like, toy with him a little bit, whatever, because if I don't get him, I got the pitcher on deck. I'm all good. Price does that. He's pitched the vast majority of his career in the American League East. Tampa Bay, Toronto. He had, of course, the stint in Detroit in the American League Central. So he's pitched a lot at Yankee Stadium. He's pitched a lot at Fenway. Pitched a lot in Baltimore. Pitched a lot in Tampa. He gets it. He understands the grind of it. His postseason numbers are not great. Kershaw's, until this past year, weren't great. Roger Clemens did not get off to a great postseason start before finishing his career by being a very good postseason pitcher. So that's something that will play out over time. But it's a move that they had to make here, even though it's not a move that a lot of people are, oh, they overpaid. Greinke's going to get more money now out of this. But Greinke Price is a better choice than Greinke, because Greinke has become a National League pitcher who understands that you can take the break on 8 and 9. Why Price has pitched his entire career in the American League, you needed that kind of mental toughness, as opposed to what an outstanding pitcher in Greinke, who doesn't have to do that and is used to now pitching in the National League, where you get the break of the eighth and ninth place hitter. You have to have your ace who understands the league and the 1-9 nature of pitching to the league, even though it's not the glorified strategy of a double switch, which a horse could make. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Please come to Boston for the springtime. I'm staying.
Well, it's not spring here, but I'll tell you right now, I'm coming back to Boston in the springtime. My son and I are going to go to a Red Sox game, make one quick phone call, get a couple of frees behind the dugout, and go from there. Does that bother you? I can do that.
Something must be in the front row.
These are row 8, actually.
Called the front office? Bingo!
Nope, not the front office. Somebody I know that's a season ticket holder. So the Red Sox are going to sign him. He hasn't signed yet, but they're going to sign him. They also got Craig Kimbrell. The other part, too, is that you need to keep Dustin Pedroia healthy. You need David Ortiz to have a strong full season and not just a strong second half like he did last year. This is going to be his last season coming up. Younger players like Mookie Betts, Jackie Bradley, and Swihart behind the plate all need to, and Xander Bogaerts need to continue to get better. And maybe by having a guy like this on the roster, it does help you get better because he will pitch you into some games that will allow you to win maybe a 2-1 game on a night where your bats aren't going well. The story with him.
Doesn't he have
a
little issue?
He has opt out at the end of 3 years.
Sorry, Steve. Doesn't he have a little issue with Ortiz? Aren't those two feuding a little bit?
You'd be amazed how, when you're both trying to win the same championship, that gets solved quickly.
That's what I was wondering, how quickly that'll get resolved when you're on the same team.
That will get resolved quickly. Pretty simple. And I don't think that's going to be an issue whatsoever. Something tells me they will hug it out in front of everybody. That will be no issue at all. All right. We are heading to the bottom of the hour. Penn State's going to play Boston College tonight, ACC Challenge game. Kevin was going to go to the game on Saturday, and then they've...
A scheduling malfunction has changed that.
By whom? Yes.
Yes.
Oh my goodness!
We have postponed. We're postponed our University Park tour until April now.
Tremendous. Tremendous. It'll give us more time to figure out how to entertain you while you're here. The
beauty is it's between. It's not yet baseball season, so we can hang out at your place and spend the afternoon.
I think we're busy. All right, 800-795-9565. Anybody like to jump in? And we'd love to hear from you. Al Golden is being interviewed at Rutgers. DJ Durkin takes the Maryland job, the current defensive coordinator at Michigan, who did a great job this year, a fabulous job he did at Michigan. And I think that we'll find out. What's interesting is most schools and most organizations go with a different guy the second time through, a different style. In other words, if I had an offensive guy, I go with a defensive guy. If I had a defensive guy, I go with an offensive guy. If I had somebody who's, quote, a player's coach, I go to a disciplinarian. If I had a disciplinarian, I go to a player's coach. See what I'm talking about? They essentially went the same direction. Randy Etzel's more of a defensive guy, and they went the same direction with DJ Durkin. Here's the problem for Maryland and Rutgers that's very simple. Do you get cut off at the pass if you're a high-level coach that would consider these jobs? Because you look at the division and you see James Franklin at Penn State, Urban Meyer at Ohio State, Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State, and Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. Do you look at the next 5 years and you see the recruiting that those four schools have done? Does that deter you from taking the job? I think it does. Because I think now the opportunity at success, when you're starting from behind, hurts. That's been the biggest problem that James Franklin's had in getting everything in Penn State up to speed. He's a great recruiter. His staff, a bunch of great recruiters. They've done a great job in the recruiting trail, but there's also a reality. They were starting from behind. And you're trying to play some catch-up and fill holes in the roster. Well, Penn State's still got more in the tank than Maryland or Rutgers happen to have. So imagine how far behind they are right now. And that's an issue. Final half hour coming up. News at the bottom of the hour. More on that shooting at San Bernardino at a social services center. There's at least 20 victims. That's coming up bottom of the hour. And then 800-795-9565. Tony Knopp back on the show tomorrow.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, time now for everyone wants to hear it. Who is the sports bozo of the day? I mean, let's face it. This become a very popular thing. Who wins this time through? A lot of drama. But Jahlil Okafor, because a second video has surfaced showing him throwing multiple punches. Congratulations, Jahlil. It's the second time in 10 days you've been named the Bozo of the Day. He earned it, don't you think? I think he did. By the way, Austin Davis is going to start instead of Johnny Manziel on Sunday.
I saw that. Wow. I, you know what? I was going to put that on the rundown. And I thought, no, you're not going to have any fun with that. What is, I mean, if you're Cleveland, have you just given up on him now?
I don't know. You have to ask them because I don't know how much of this is discipline versus how much is performance.
Well, that's a very good point. I hadn't really looked at it from that side.
That's why you asked the question.
Again, how many years is left on that contract?
I have no idea. I've tried very hard not to follow his career.
4 years worth about $8.25 million, including a $4.3 signing bonus.
That's right. It's a slotted. I forgot it's a slotted contract because he's the 22nd overall pick. The Rose Bowl may pass on the Big Ten title game loser. They might go to Ohio State instead. They have to take a Big Ten team, but they might go to Ohio State instead. Michigan defensive coordinator DJ Durkin is going to take the head coaching job at Maryland. Georgia is going to name Kirby Smart, the Alabama defensive coordinator, as their new head coach. Kirby Smart is a Georgia grad. And the Penn State Bowl situation, when it comes to Jacksonville, looks like this. It's down to four teams for Jacksonville. On one side, it's either LSU or Georgia. On the other side, the number one choice is Florida State, and Penn State is the number two choice in Jacksonville. If Clemson beats North Carolina in the ACC championship game, Clemson most assuredly would be in the Final Four. But in all likelihood, it would open the door to the number nine team, which is Florida State, to play in the New Year's Six in the Peach Bowl. That opens the door for Penn State. If North Carolina wins, it changes everything. Fair enough? So that's the game to watch as to what determines Penn State's bowl fate, it appears. So those are some of the stories today. David Price, of course, here in Boston, the big story, the seven-year, $217 million deal. The Red Sox have finished in last place in three of the last 4 years. The odd thing happens to be that three of the last 4 years, the 1 year they didn't finish in last place, they won the whole thing. They all got rings. So that is the story there. The Red Sox, in all likelihood, are done making moves. They might trade a pitcher for prospects, but that's it. They've already picked up Craig Kimbrell from the Padres for four prospects. They've signed David Price. They feel like they've taken care of their needs that vault them from fifth to first. We will find out if that's true or not.
Steve, you're talking about bowls. Last week, we talked about this early in the week. There are now five open slots for bowls because 75 teams have now been bowl eligible. 80 are needed.
Yep. The 76th could be Kansas State. They play Saturday. They are 5-6. They won last weekend. And Bill Snyder's team, they are playing West Virginia. Not an easy assignment, but they're playing them at home in Manhattan. So they could be the 76th. How they're going to do it is this. They have done it. They've decided to take the 5-7 teams and rank them by APR score in terms of eligibility. And Nebraska, for example, has already said that, hey, look, they want to go. Minnesota has already said they. Tracy Clays has been is. He said they're absolutely going to go. But an APR score is Illinois is aching to go. I mean, I think they've sent people to Indianapolis trying to see if they could somehow get into this thing. And it turned out on APR score, they're sixth.
I do have those numbers, Steve. Nebraska's at 985. Kansas State is 976, and they have to play West Virginia yet. San Jose State is...
Kansas State will be in regardless. The question is whether they'll be in as a 6-6 team or 5-7.
San Jose State is 975. They're done. Minnesota's 975. They're done. Illinois's 973. They're done. Rice, 973. They're done. South Alabama is 943 and has App State yet. And Georgia State's at 940 with Georgia Southern yet to go. Missouri has decided they will not accept a bid, and there is no procedure for tie-breaking.
The procedure for tie-breaking is simple. It's APR score. That's the tie-breaker.
Well, but if there's a tie in AP, like right now there's some APR scores that are the same. Like San Jose State and Minnesota are not going to move from 975 because they're done.
Yeah, but Kevin, they're already in the top five.
They are in the top five. You're correct.
They're in.
That puts,
it doesn't matter if they're tied.
Now, Illinois and Rice, let's see, they'd be 1, 2, 3, 4. Illinois and Rice are both at 973 and tied for that fifth opening.
Actually, Rice is lower. I know Rice's APR score is lower.
Well, you just sucked all the fun out of that.
I think their APR score is like 963 or something like that.
973 is what I'm showing, but it may be incorrect.
Well, mine was from the NCAA, so they're the ones that put it out there.
I was going to say, and you're okay with that? I'm just checking.
No, I mean, look, I'm not okay with almost anything these people do. But so that's where you are. Illinois is aching to go. They want to go to the Foster Farms thing. And, okay, go for it. But that's where it stands with the NCAA. Being the 5-7 teams, there will be 5-7 teams in. They're going to put together a task force to take a look at maybe some bowls going dark. Yet here's the other issue. You have a boatload of cities that want bowl games. Like, still.
It's got to stop.
Still want bowl games. Yeah.
I understand. I think it's great that teams get to go to bowl games. I think it's wonderful that we have these games, and I know people are watching them on TV. I get it, and there's money to be made, but it's gotta stop. I mean, we're in a situation right now where we're debating teams that aren't 500. Should they go to a bowl game or shouldn't they go to a bowl game? If that's the case, then there are too many bowl games.
Yes, but there are more cities that have applied for bowl games. Right, that's where it is. Right. Let me give you the list of cities that have applied. They want more. Right. And the list of cities that have applied for bowl games, I mean, they haven't been approved yet, nor are they going to get approval. But the Austin Bowl received some tentative approval to start next year. The Medal of Honor Bowl in Charleston, South Carolina. The Melbourne Bowl.
In Australia?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Now, here are others that have been proposed. Little Rock, Arkansas really wants a bowl game to play at War Memorial Stadium in downtown. They've really pushed hard for it. Other proposed bowl games include the old Toronto Bowl coming back, the Ireland Bowl, the Christmas Bowl in Los Angeles, and the Dubai Bowl.
Oh.
Let's go to Dubai.
It's just make it stop. I mean, listen, I mean no disrespect to teams that are going to bowl games, all right? So please don't read anything into this. But right now, it's getting to the point now where as long as you're 500, you're in a bowl game. And the magic of the bowl game is starting to go away. And maybe I'm just idealizing everything again. But, you know, it's just too many. I can't even watch that many bowl games.
Well, here are the cities that have multiple bowl games. And this, to me, is where the problem lies. You have multiple bowl games in San Diego, two of them, Holiday and Poinsettia. You have two in Phoenix, the Cactus Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl. You have two in Dallas, the Cotton Bowl and the Heart of Dallas Bowl. You also have the Armed Forces Bowl, by the way, which is over in Fort Worth, close enough. You have two in New Orleans. People forget about the fact that there are two in New Orleans. You've got the New Orleans Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. Technically, you have two in the Tampa Bay area because St. Petersburg has a bowl and so does the Outback Bowl. You have three in Orlando. Citrus Bowl, the Russell Athletic Bowl, the Cure Bowl. You have sort of two. Actually, you have three in Miami. You have the Boca Raton Bowl, the Miami Beach Bowl, and the Orange Bowl. There's where the problem lies. I don't mind if they look at these cities and say, look, I think the rule has to be you can only have one. And if Little Rock, Arkansas wants to have a bowl game, so be it. If Seattle wants to have a bowl game, so be it. If Melbourne wants to have a whatever, okay? Whomever these others happen to be, Austin wants to have one, so be it. But only one per town.
Steve, I got Tony on the line from Shamokin who wants to start the Coal Bowl.
Tony, we're in. Kevin says he's always wanted to announce a bowl game. I sense opportunity.
Well, the thing is, I got to agree with Kevin. I mean, we're getting to the point where we're rewarding mediocrity. I mean, where is the
interest?
Yeah,
but that's what this show's all about.
Yeah.
It's got a point.
Oh, that's not right.
You needed the good one-liner in there. You needed it.
2-5-6 teams. Where is any possible interest?
Part is, though, Tony, people will watch it. That's what amazes me, because Steve and I had this argument last year. I said, nobody's going to watch these bowl games that are after New Year's Day, the insert sponsor name .com bowl, and the numbers are just staggering how many people are watching these games.
Just like,
and also how much money they're bringing in for charity, too.
If they're bringing it for charity, I guess that puts a different light on it, but... You know, remember when it was the four major bowls and then the Liberty and the Gator, and that was it?
Yeah, it's true.
And, you know, schools that have a record, say, attending consecutive bowls that they've played in, et cetera, what happens to that type of record? You know, when you can go to a bowl and you're 5-6. And didn't Joe Paterno once decline the bowl because they didn't think they were good enough?
Well, the players voted it down because Jack was on that team as a senior in 1970, and then the players also voted down a chance in 1984, so it happened twice.
In 1970?
1970, Penn State had an opportunity to play in the Peach Bowl, and the players said no.
So they didn't play in a bowl in 1970.
No, they went 7-3 and did not play in a bowl game. That's yep.
Yes, sir.
That's why I'm here, Tony. That's why I'm here, Tony. Yeah. I can come up with obscure stuff.
I was thinking about John Donovan and him being replaced. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe it had to be done, maybe it didn't. But the Michigan State game, Penn State did have over 400 yards in offense against a team that the previous week held Ohio State to 132 in Columbus.
I know. Yep.
And it wasn't the offense that gave up 55 points.
No. Well, okay. In a way, it did. Because remember. Okay, there was a fumble at the 9-yard line. There was an interception return for a touchdown. I mean, there was part of it. I mean, you know, it's whatever.
And just to get rid of a guy, because I think a lot of, well, I don't want to.
He's a good, look, John's a good man. I personally like John a lot. He's a good man, and if any of you had a chance to meet him, you'd really like John and have a lot of respect for John, too. I mean, James felt it was something basically he wanted to do. He felt he had to do, so you go from there.
And, you know, he had to be a good friend of Franklin's, and this really had to hurt. And to do it around the holidays, oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it was a very difficult decision across the board, but he felt he had to do it. So now we go from there. But I wish John nothing but the best because I think John's a really good man.
Is there any interest in him anywhere that you're aware of?
Not initially, but there's so many staffs changing over right now, Tony.
Yeah.
There are a lot of jobs open.
Well, I wish him nothing but the best wherever he ends up, too. So.
Absolutely. So do I.
Well, listen, everybody have a good day. Talk to you sometime next week. Take care.
Tony, bye. Sounds great. We shall take a break from Boston in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Great to have you with us here in Boston, where Penn State plays Boston College tonight. We'll have Santa Claus tonight from 6 to 7. This is year 200 on the air for Santa on WKOK.
I think that's about right.
And then you'll join us, Dick Girardi and me, at the Conti Forum at 7 this evening. With a 7:15 tip time tonight, so 7:15 will be the tip time tonight, and you'll join us at 7 following Santa Claus. I've already submitted my list, some foreign, some domestic items, but we're all good. So that is Santa coming up tonight from 6 to 7.
I'm not going to mention what list you're on.
I think it's already assumed. The Gator Bowl, if you want to see Penn State play in Jacksonville, if that's your choice, see Penn State play in a Florida Bowl for the first time in 5 years, I strongly suggest you watch the Clemson-North Carolina game. Because if Clemson wins, Florida State might go to the Peach Bowl. If North Carolina wins, I don't know, then Florida State could be going to Jacksonville and not Penn State.
When was the last time Clemson-North Carolina was a game that was a question, you know, was a possible North Carolina win?
This is a game with two very good college quarterbacks, neither one of which has pro potential, but they're both really good college quarterbacks. North Carolina's quarterback is very, very good. And Watson is very, very good. So they're it's probably going to come down to defenses. I think Clemson's defense is a little bit better than North Carolina's. And I think that ends up being the difference in the game between the two. Clemson wins, they're in the Final Four. Everybody knows that. North Carolina wins, they're not in the Final Four. ACC won't have a team, I don't think, in the Final Four. I don't think North Carolina's got enough juice to get there. I think Ohio State actually probably moves up in there if they do.
I would imagine that the loser of the Big Ten championship is probably out of the national championship picture, too.
They are, but they'll be in the New Year's Six. And remember that the Rose Bowl is obligated to take a Big Ten team. If two Big Ten teams, say Michigan State and Ohio State, were to be picked in the Final Four, Iowa would go to the Rose Bowl.
But
the
loser of
loser of Michigan State, Iowa, by the way, is not necessarily guaranteed a spot in the Rose Bowl. They may take Ohio State instead. So that's how it plays out. The ACC title game is going to tell you what your New Year's plans might be if you're following the team. Tomorrow, Tony Knopf, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, he'll join us tomorrow. Chris Soleri, Lansing State Journal.